Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 70th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. This week, we are reviewing episode 10 of season 2. This is it, people. This is the last episode of the season. Let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Harlequinade, original air date May 23, 1994. Title card is a really nice drawing of Harley Quinn. It's the same drawing they use in promotional shots, but it looks really cool. We start off in a warehouse full of mob bosses bidding to buy what appears to be an atomic bomb. The guy selling isn't happy with the bids he's getting, but someone decides to make an even better offer.
Gentlemen, please, don't insult me with nickel and dime bids. The man who walks out with this bomb walks out with Gotham in his pocket. Yours to pick clean or blow sky high. Your call. What am I bid?
How about nothing? Zero, zip, zilch, nada. My personal check for Bupkis, drawn on the First National Bank of Squadoo.
Joker's wearing like a big top hat. He takes it off and he has a bomb underneath. Everybody runs away. The auctioneer falls and Joker throws the bomb at him. The bomb goes off, but a little jack-in-the-box pops out instead. The little clown then shoots Joker gas out, and the auctioneer turns into like this laughing maniac. And holy hell, does he look creepy. Like, if you really want to see how horrible the Joker gas can be, then watch Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. But you also get a good idea of it here. We fade to Gordon at the warehouse calling Mayor Hill, telling him that Joker has a bomb, and he needs to evacuate the city. Mayor Hill won't do it, and we cut to Mayor Hill on the phone. But he looks a bit odd. He's wearing a white glove with a purple sleeve for some reason. Batman is there, and he tells Gordon that to find Joker, they need to think like him or recruit somebody who does. Cut to a jail cell, and we see Harley Quinn. She's playing with a doll when Batman bursts in and scares the crap out of her. Batman asks Harley for help.
Don't you knock before entering a lady's boudoir?
I need help.
Well, you've come to the right place. I recommend a lobotomy.
The Joker's stolen a bomb. If I can't get to him in time, this city and everyone in it's going up in a mushroom cloud.
Batman tells Harley that if she helps him find Joker, then Gordon and Dr. Bartholomew will help get her released from Arkham. I have to point out the animation for this episode is pretty bad. Joker never looks the same in any shot, and Batman has these weird wavy hand motions all the time. It's like he's some sort of string puppet. Like when he talks to Harley, he's like waving his finger around and... It's like he's some sort of sassy black woman. It's so weird. Harley agrees to help, but if she double-crosses Batman, then the deal is off. We cut to the Batmobile where Harley is handcuffed, and she senses Batman doesn't trust her. She gets free of the cuffs with a hairpin and says she wants to listen to the radio. She presses a button, which causes a parachute to open up from the back of the Batmobile and makes Batman like drive out of control and smash into a bunch of garbage cans. Batman gets angry and gives Harley a speech that I give to all children who have ever entered my home.
Listen and listen good. You don't touch anything, say anything, or do anything unless I tell you. Got it?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you guys remember in Mad TV, and they had that one sketch called That's My White Mama. And then it was played by like Artie Lang, I believe his name is. And he had, like, the soul of a black woman inside of him because he killed her with a car. Whatever, it's silly. But he would do his famous catchphrase. He'd be like, don't make me bake my foot off in your ass! Well, that's how Batman acts here. He's like, don't touch anything until I say so. But he's, like, waving his finger around and his hands, like, on his hips. And he's all like, you don't do anything, honey child. It's so weird. Harley says she's going to change clothes. I'm sorry, I skipped something there. Batman tells Harley to take him to their last hideout. They get there and it's some sort of abandoned circus prop warehouse. Harley says she's going to change clothes and Batman looks around the hideout. He finds a kiosk full of monitors that are spying on everyone important all through the city. At that point, Batman gets attacked by hyenas. The hyenas take Batman down, and he doesn't seem to even be fighting back. As we've seen, Batman's two weaknesses on this show, they are women and animals. Harley shows up dressed in her traditional black and red costume, and I guess I should have mentioned she was wearing like Arkham prison uniform before. Anyway, the hyenas leave Batman alone as Harley feeds them like a giant bone and a huge steak that she just has in her bag. Batman asks Harley why she's attracted to Joker.
What's the attraction, Gwen? This sick infatuation with the Joker.
Look, Bats, when I was a doctor, I was always listening to other people's problems. Then I met Mr. J, who listened to me for a change and made everything fun.
You think it's funny when he hurts people?
It's just a joke.
Hope you're still laughing when it's your turn.
Damn, I guess we have a special guest on this episode. The Human Torch, because Harley is flamed on after that sick burn. In the Batmobile, Batman radios Robin to meet him and Harley at the old novelty supply factory that used to be one of Joker's old hideouts. Batman and Harley arrive. Batman shoots his grapple hook to climb the building and tells Harley to hang on. She says she can do it herself, and she takes out a scepter with a jester's head on it from a duffel bag she's carrying. Harley shoots the scepter head into the sky and it comes down on her head, knocking her down. Batman grabs her and gets to the top and enters the building. Batman and Harley are sneaking around and Harley is making lots of noise. She's walking around going like, sneak, sneak, sneak. And Batman tells her to be quiet, but Harley says no one's been in that dump for years. Batman opens a door and now it's a nightclub for mobsters. So all these mobsters stand there and they stare at Batman and they start to walk toward him with their like guns out. Harley knocks out Batman and tells the mobsters that she brought them a gift. Batman gets tied up and put on a pool table. So the guy that runs the place is a mobster named Boxy Bennett. He wants to know if Harley is working with Batman, and she says, of course she's not, because if Boxy thought that, he would then kill them both. So, no, she's not. At that moment, Harley notices Robin at the window. So she creates a distraction, and oh boy, what a distraction it is.
A flat. I never knew that our romance had ended until you poisoned my food. And I thought it was a lark when you kicked me in the park. But now I think it was rude. I never knew that you and I were finished until that bottle hit my head. Though I tried to be aloof when you pushed me off the roof, I feel our romance is dead. It wouldn't have been so bad if you had told me that someone had taken my place. But no, no, you didn't even scold me. You just tried to disfigure my face. You'll never know how this heart of mine is breaking. It looks so hopeless, but then life used to be so placid. Won't you please put down that acid and say that we're sweethearts again?
During the song, Robin sneaks in and unties Batman. Batman and Robin proceed to beat the crap out of all the mobsters and they drop a roulette wheel on Boxy. More mobsters come after Batman and Robin, but Harley takes them all out by dropping a chandelier on them. Harley, Robin, and Batman escape, and Robin mentions that Mayor Hill still won't evacuate the city, and then Harley starts laughing.
Oh, it's brilliant. Way to go, Mr. J.
What are you saying?
Oh, come on, Bats. You've seen how my pudding keeps an eye on Gotham. What better way to tie up the cops than to tie up the mayor?
We then cut to the Joker holding the mayor hostage and inside of a swimming pool. So the white glove and purple sleeve in the earlier scene when Mayor Hill is on the phone was pure genius. I mean, seriously, when you watch the first viewing, you don't notice that that's not his hand holding that phone. But once you know the plot, you go back and it's like obviously plain as day, but it's just something that you don't pay attention to. Batman, Robin, and Harley arrive at Mayor Hill's mansion, and Batman handcuffs Harley inside the Batmobile again, saying he can't risk her warning the Joker. Harley has a fake hand, and she just removes it to get free from the handcuffs. She then pops her real hand back out. It's kind of weird. Joker tells Hill he's not going to demand the ransom this time. He's going to take out the mayor, the police, and Batman by turning Gotham into a crater. Joker tells his henchmen to bring out the plane. And Joker throws a tied-up Mayor Hill into the pool and walks away. Like, he kicks him into the deep end. Batman shows up and throws a batarang at Joker's head. And Robin dives into the pool to rescue Mayor Hill. Joker and Batman have a fight with an umbrella, like a la the Penguin. When suddenly, Batman gets his hands trapped into a tree by a giant boomerang. Robin gets tied up by a bola. And we see that Harley Quinn is loose, and she has this weird giant gun that shoots giant staples or something. Harley runs over to Joker, and Joker is shocked to see her. Harley says that the deal is off because hurting Mr. J was never part of it. At that moment, this giant World War I plane shows up, like an enormous bi-wing plane. Joker tries to put Harley inside, but Robin brings up a good point to Harley.
It's lucky you were here, Harley. The countdown sequence didn't leave Joker enough time to swing by Arkham and pick you up.
Quiet, Brett.
You were gonna come back for me, weren't you, Puddin'?
Of course, Pumpkin Pie. It's just that, well, here you are, so I can save myself the trip.
But what about all our friends? Ivy and Two-Face and Hat Guy and Lizard Man and Puppet Head and...
What about them?
Don't forget your little pets.
The babies! We can't leave the babies!
I'll buy you a goldfish! Let's go!
No!
Why, you little...
Harley gets angry that Joker never planned to rescue any of them and kicks Joker in the face and tries to rescue Batman. Joker gets inside the plane and mans the front machine gun and flies off. Harley lets Batman loose. So Joker drops bombs from his plane on Batman and Harley. Joker is happy because he thinks he killed them, but he sees that they survived. He tells his henchmen to turn the plane around, but they don't want to because of the bomb that's about to blow up. Joker points the machine gun at them and they comply. Now I should mention, this is the first time that we see this version of the Joker's henchmen, which are like these enormous muscular dudes with mime face paint. And they have Three Stooges haircuts. And their names are actually Moe, Lair, and Kerr. Batman disarms the bomb, but Joker starts shooting at it with the machine gun and dropping bombs from the plane. Harley is angry at Joker and grabs that Jester scepter that she tried to reach the top of the building with from her bag. She shoots it and it bonks Joker in the head, knocking him out. So Joker is still grabbing onto the machine gun and he just starts spinning around wildly and shooting at everything, including his plane and henchmen. The wing and motors are shot, and the plane crashes into Mayor Hill's house and bursts into flames. And Joker just casually walks out and jumps off the porch while deploying his parachute. Harley walks up to Joker with a machine gun and points it at Joker's head, while Batman and Robin tell her not to do it.
Freeze, clown!
Quinn, stop!
He's mine, Bats!
You wouldn't dare.
You don't have the guts.
Not in a million years, would you?
Harley pulls the trigger, but instead, a little flag with rat-tat-tat written on it comes out of the gun. And Harley looks shocked. So I guess she really did mean to, like, shoot Joker in the head, because she seems genuinely shocked that that's what happened. Joker gets really angry, but then he just smiles.
Baby, you're the greatest.
Joker and Harley hug as Batman and Robin just look on confused. The end. I wish I could meet a girl like Harley Quinn. The type of girl that I would fear would stab me in my sleep one day. So there's a commentary track on this episode, if you own the DVDs, or at least the volume DVDs. It's Paul Dini, the writer, Shirley Walker, the music composer, and the creators of the series, Bruce Timm and Eric Radomski. Things of note from the commentary is that Paul Dini actually wrote a pilot for a Harley Quinn Poison Ivy spinoff, but it never really got past the writing stage. That's pretty interesting. I mean, she was getting very popular, and the fact that they were willing to give her a spinoff, or at least the idea of one, it's actually a pretty interesting one. They mention how the song that Harley Quinn sings is a real song from a 1944 movie titled Meet the People and sung by Virginia O'Brien. And no, the lyrics aren't altered in any way. That's how the song really goes. It also reminds me a lot of the Weird Al Yankovic song You Don't Love Me Anymore, released in 1992 from the album Off the Deep End. Hey, that's 2 years before this, so they probably could have used that one too. The commentary has a lot of talk about the music on the show, but not much else of note. And oh wait, there actually is one thing of note. The commentary tells us that the name of the hyenas are Lou and Bud, which is a clear nod to the classic comedy duo of Abbott and Costello. I'm sure you've heard of them, and if you haven't, I'm sure you've heard of their famous baseball skit, Who's on First?
All right, but you know, strange may seem they give ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
Funny names?
Nicknames, pet names.
Not as funny as my name, Sebastian Dinwiddie.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Funnier than that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, now, on the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
You know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellas' name on first base.
Who?
The fella playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you who is on first.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a first baseman on first?
Certainly.
Then who's playing first?
Absolutely.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Why shouldn't he? Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. After all, the man earns it.
Who does?
Absolutely.
Well, all I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no, no. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy.
What's the guy's name on first base?
What's the guy's name on second base?
I am not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking about him.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, everybody. It's time for the Batcave Archives. This is the part of the show where I rank the episodes we have reviewed thus far. So let's open up the list here and see what we have. We have 69 episodes ranked thus far. This is number 70. And remember, you can see the complete ranking on Facebook. Go to Off the Ropes. I'm sorry. No, that's my old podcast. No, go to I'm Batman the Podcast on Facebook and join the group. You will see all the rankings there. I guess it's an editor's note. There's been this thing on Facebook where they're asking me for my name. I go by the name Captain Marvelous on Facebook. They're wanting me to reveal my real name, and they gave me 7 days to do it. If I don't do it, I get kicked off Facebook. I'm hesitant about it because they also want me to like send my copy of my ID, and honestly, I don't feel comfortable doing that, just sending Facebook copies of my identification. So I might get kicked off Facebook. I don't know. They gave me 7 days. Honestly, I don't even remember when this was, if this was last Monday or if it's already up or this day is the last day. So in case you just don't see any updates for a while, that might be the reason. You can follow me now on Twitter at capt_marvelous. That's CAPT_marvelous. I also do a lot of stuff there now. I'm getting more on there since I might be kicked off Facebook. Also, you can look for me on Instagram. Look for Captain_marvelous, where I post a lot of artwork and a lot of more. It's a lot more personal than stuff on the show, so I put a lot more personal artwork and stuff going on there. Anyways, back to this. This episode, it's a fun episode. It's not I don't know. I wouldn't have chosen this episode to close out the season. There was probably something better. I can't really think of something off the top of my head. Like, even House and Garden, maybe. The Poison Ivy racing a family. Or the episode Trial. Episode from last week, Trial. I think that would have been perfect to close out the season. You have all the villains. It would have been, like, a big thing. This episode concentrates on Harley. I've given my thoughts on Harley before. I like her as a character. I think she's cool. I don't like the current interpretation of her. I mean, she started out kind of like a ditzy henchman. Now she's like, oh, she's more psychotic than the Joker. And now she's as smart as Batman. And calm down there a little bit, you know? She's cool. I like her. Nothing against her. I'm just not a big fan of that interpretation of what they're going with now. It's all right. It's not, you know, yeah, it's fine. It's funny seeing Batman be the straight man to Harley's, like, goofy antics. So it's cool. I mean, we're used to seeing Batman just be a grump anyway. I wouldn't rank this episode in the top 10. I probably wouldn't even rank it in the top 20. There's much better ones than this. At number, let's start looking like around number 30. Because at number 29, we have House and Garden, the episode where Poison Ivy raises a family. That is way much better than this. Right below it, at number 30, POB, the episode where the three officers tell their stories on Batman, on their point of view. I thought this is better than this. I'm sorry, that was better than this. At number 31, See No Evil. The Tale with the Invisible Man. The animation's really good. I think it's a sweet story with the Invisible Man doing that just to get his daughter back. So, I don't know. The Invisible Man, kind of like a one-note villain. I mean, we never see him again. This one's kind of on par with that, I guess. I don't know. Let's go down to the 40s. At number 40, Pretty Poison, the debut of Poison Ivy. I thought that was better than this. If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? Right below that, the Riddler debut episode. I really like that episode. At number 42, Christmas with the Joker. When I first reviewed that episode, I spoke how I had gripes with it, how I wasn't that big a fan of it. I kind of got sold on it thanks to Larry kind of making me see a different view on it. Still not really one of my favorites. It's a fun episode to watch, but I wouldn't rank it higher than it is. I think this episode is much better than that. So we're gonna rank at our new number 42, Harley Quinnade. Alright, everybody, thank you for listening, and remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I've been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are...
It's Ivy and Two-Face and Cat Guy and Lizard Man and...
Life used to be a gay thing, filled with happiness, night and day thing. It was something to have and to hold, but it seems that your love grew cold. I never knew that our romance had ended until you poisoned my food, and I thought it was a lark when you kicked me in the park, but now I think it was rude. I never knew that you and I were finished until that bottle hit my head. Though I tried to be aloof when you pushed me off the roof, I feel our romance is dead. It wouldn't have been so bad if you told me, if you told me that someone had suddenly taken my place. But no, you didn't even scold me. You just tried to disfigure my face. You'll never know how this heart of mine is breaking. It looks so hopeless, but then our life could still be sweet and placid if you'd just put down that acid and say we're sweethearts again.
Remember? of that night in Bridgeport, when the moon shone down on both of us and the breeze sang a love song, and you looked at me and I looked at you and you didn't know what to do, so you broke my leg? I thought there was sort of a strange look in your eyes, but then you smiled and it made everything all right. Then there was that lovely time when we went canoeing and you set fire to my dress. You said you pushed me overboard to put out the flames. But I could never quite understand why you held my head underwater so long. Of course, I've never met this person who's taken my place, but I want you to know that I wish you all the luck in the world. And if there's anything I can do, anything at all, you can reach me in room 304 at the General Hospital. Farewell, my sweet.
You'll never know how this heart of mine is breaking. It looks so hopeless, but then our love is great. No love can match it. Darling, please put down that hatchet and say...